What a privilege to be together again on a beautiful Saturday evening. It's a time when there could have been a lot of other things to do. You could have sat in your back porch and barbecued or whatever. But to see lives that are enthused have come together in the house of God. And we want to greet you in His precious name again. That song we sang tonight, the last one, it says, "Trials dark in every hand, and we cannot understand." And this is something that my youth might find it a little harder to grasp, that there'd be trials in life, you know. And one of you had asked me here this week, I forget who it was, about our son. So I'll just tell you a little bit about that. Trials can come for younger people. You know, and young people, tonight I'm speaking to young people, and that includes us all, right? There are no old people here tonight, so we'll include you all in our message. But I specifically want to encourage you young people, your life is ahead of you. It might be only a day, it might only be an hour, it might be 70 years, it might be 80 years, I have no idea. But what lies ahead is not going to get any rosier for younger people, because the difference is becoming greater between darkness and light. And if you're walking with Jesus Christ tonight, you can expect down the road, I believe in the fair land of USA, that there'll likely be persecution on the rise for the children of God. But dear people, tonight I want to encourage you, you're born for such a time as this, and if you walk with God, you have all the power you need to walk a life. But 5 years ago, we were sitting together with friends at home, and a call came, and our youth had gone to they went to Ottawa. Yeah, it was, thank you. I'm too emotional, I guess I should start to stay at home. But when it hits the family, it's worse yet. Thank you. But no, they went to Ottawa as a youth group, and older youth along. We were already along too, but not that year. To sing on the street and witness and hand out Bibles and tracts and so forth. And we got a call at home, and they said that there's unrest. There's a problem to pray. Okay, well, we can do that. And about 5 minutes later, then they got another call. And they said, our son had been stabbed, is on the way to the hospital. It comes close home. No. And I'll tell you what happened, everything, he's okay, he's a married man now, and all these things, and praise God for that. But whoever it was that said, he wanted to know more about it. Anyway, this lady comes up and came to her oldest son. These, you know, boys are all bigger than me, so you can guess the rest too. And this lady comes up to him and said, "Does God love lesbians?" And her oldest son said, "Yes." You know. In fact, what does the word say? Jesus Christ died for the whole world. So she asked another question, "Can lesbians go to heaven?" And then he said, "Yes, if they repent." And he said he had never seen the likes. Her throat just literally swelled up in anger, and she went up and smacked him on the cheek before he knew what was, you know, you're not used to that kind of a reception. And so, you know, finally, then she grabbed the chair, was going to hit them with the chair, but he, of course, grabbed it out there, and it couldn't come any further. And she was wild. And so she went to our next son, which happened to be in charge of the book table, and she was going to flip the table over. Well, he, of course, hung on, so she couldn't do that, so she just went over and swiped everything on the pavement and took off. So they were there in that kind of a situation when, I guess, the first call came, or towards the end of that situation when they thought, well, they're going to pack up and head on back to their motel and pray more and see what they should do from there. In the meantime, this lady comes back and she's dressed all in black. What does that represent? It's the witch's color. Yeah. And that's how come it still bugs me when I see young men or whatever, everybody dressed right in black from head to foot. It reminds me more of a witch than it does of God. Excuse me, young people. Yeah. That's what I think of. Because that lady knew why she dressed in black. You know, if you search it up, the rock groups and all of those, the one group especially, they always dress in black. It's the demonic power. She came back, and of course they didn't recognize her because she had changed her apparel. She got a knife out and pushed it in the back of our son, 3 inches in. 1 inch from the spine, 1 inch from the lungs. Went in, that was it. You know, it didn't harm anything else. A miracle. Our son said it was easy to forgive. It would be a lot harder. He'd be paralyzed. Yeah. A lot harder. Would be a lot harder for parents to forgive. And a lot harder for the church body to forgive. Well, I want to conclude that. She took off, and I guess the police caught her later on and sort of set, you know, the court date and all those things. And a year later, the court was called into session. We were there, and plus five people from the community had a subpoena that they had to be there. Our oldest son married on Saturday, and they had planned and flying to Sri Lanka for their honeymoon. And then they had to first go to the court case yet on Tuesday. And he said, well, can I just not say right now what's needed to be done? And he said, you'll be there, yeah, marriage or not. A subpoena means you'll arrive at the court at the right time. So what did they do? They were there, we were there, other friends. So the lady didn't show up. The court system or the government, they paid all those that had a subpoena. They gave them a free ride out or whatever, and meals provided and so forth. But then the culprit wasn't there. So then they... Is she somewhere in the court? You know, this is a huge courthouse. You know, I don't know how many courts are going at the same time, but she never showed up. And so they asked her lawyer, and he said, well, he had contact with her half a year ago, and since possibly via email, whatever. But he was of the same persuasion as she was, according to his looks and to his dress. You can sometimes tell of who they represent, you know. So she was put under arrest warrant was put out for her, and nothing has been heard of her since. You know, as long as she doesn't come to the U.S. or get charged for a speeding ticket, they won't be out looking for her. Because we're not pounding she has to go to court, you know. That's not our mission, people, tonight. But it's to bring her to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, which only the Holy Spirit can do. Yeah. And that's our prayer, that she can, in this time of her freedom, that she can come to Jesus and be forgiven. You know, those are the blessings of Christ, you know, that she could be free as if it wouldn't have happened. But then it's the challenge for the church to keep lifting her up in prayer, that she can find that redemption that is needed. And hopefully not she doesn't do it to anybody else too, you know. That's, I don't say this to boast because it's our son. Somebody had asked what all happened. And sometimes it's good for you young people, for all of us to realize we're in a world that isn't fair. We're in a world where it is becoming increasingly, the hatred against Christianity is on the rise. Look at your political system, you don't catch on. The Democrats, just the other month, they said they want to get God out of one of their house swearing-in ceremony, whatever. No. And I realize you can say all those things and still not be persuaded. But we go back tonight to when prayer left the school. What have we got in there now? They have to have metal detectors so no guns are in, and on and on. In our schools up there in Canada, they have yoga. Now, instead of the Bible, you know what yoga is? Any of you sisters practicing yoga? Don't put up your hand if you do, but repent and get right with God. That's right. Those things are coming into our churches. Don't meddle with yoga. Our six-year-olds in school have to practice yoga already. I have a message on that. I'm not staying around long enough, so don't worry. But, yeah. Churches, yoga classes, you know, really. Yeah. That's emptying your mind. And the scripture says we're not supposed to empty our mind, but fill our mind with the things of the Word of God. And then we don't need yoga. That's right. That's witchcraft. Call it what it is. And, you know, terminology, I understand. Oh, yes, we better get into the message. The quote for the evening is this: sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. That's the bottom line. I'll repeat it. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Young people, we love you tonight, wherever you are. One word tonight for my message is courtship. What a wonderful time it can be for a man and a woman who have given preeminence to Jesus Christ as Lord in their life, seeking God's will. Is anybody here tonight that is courting at all? You know what I mean? Do you have a girlfriend or do you have a boyfriend that people know about? Or anybody? How many wish you would have one? I had the same message in Bible school this winter, and I raised the same question, and there were a few honest people. I smiled. I was blessed by their honesty. There are a few young men that put up their hand, and there's nothing wrong with honesty, you know. People get to that age, and God bless them for that. I was almost shocked because most of you liked it wouldn't be that honest, even if it was going around in your head tonight. But that's okay. Courtship. You know, expressing lordship in your life is more than just a testimony, but it is by the way you conduct your life, by your actions, and it shows through in courtship. If we would have asked any couple across the USA tonight, any worldly couple, if they want to have a marriage that lasts, and I would guarantee that everyone would say yes. Yes. You know, they would think, well, with my girlfriend, we'll get married, and hopefully they would get married. You know, that's another case in itself. But that they would answer yes. Because they look down the road and we want our marriage to last. You know, we want this glorious experience in our courtship to continue on and on and on. And if that is true tonight, then why not start right so you have a chance of ending right? You have to start right if you want to end right. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs here. Proverbs is a very interesting book. It's so black and white. It just flips from one to the other. And Solomon, the man that he was, the man of wisdom, the wisest man that ever lived, and possibly the wealthiest man too. He wrote in Proverbs 1, he says this in verse 8, he said, "My son," and when I say my son tonight, it means my daughter too. Get that in mind. "My son, my daughter, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." In verse 10, it says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." On over to verse 15, he says, "My son, walk not thou in thy way with them, refrain thy foot from their path," and this is referring to the evil ones round about them. On over to Proverbs 2:1. It says, "My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee," this means young people tonight, whoever you are, that you have a touch with God, that you love the word of God and you get into it and apply it to your life so you know when you're in courtship, you know what is right and you know what is wrong. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit to live in a godly way, like in holiness, like the brother said here tonight. And I believe tonight we Mennonites should be called people of holiness too. We have holiness groups in the USA and Canada, but we need to have that attached to our name too. Those are holiness people that go to Cornerstone because they love God. They want to do by the grace of God what is needed there. In Proverbs 3:1, it says here, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Verses 11 and 12. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Verses 21, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." Proverbs 4:3-10. "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." Verse 10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Proverbs 5:1, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to mine understanding." Verse 20, "And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger?" Proverbs 6:20. Proverbs 6:20. "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." Proverbs 7:1. "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee." Do we see the thrust that Solomon had for his son when he wrote this? Why was he writing this? He himself did not turn up in the book of Hebrews 11 in the faith chapter. He didn't get there because he fell by the way with strange women. But could it be tonight that as he saw where the direction he was in, he could look out over his vast empire and as far as the eye could see, and he could say, "This is mine." But you know, you read in the Word of God tonight, he said, "All is vanity. Whatever I'm trying to get a hold of, I can't keep. I'm going to the grave and I can't take this with me." And could it be tonight, as a father, if he truly was a father, he said, "My son, don't go the way that I do. My son, do as I tell you." Maybe not as I do myself. You know, that's sad when that is the case. I don't know. But I believe Solomon wanted youth to know what it means to be under the protection of their parents. Young people tonight, if you are sitting here and you're rebelling against your parents, you're on a downward path away from God, and you don't have that protection over you when you're in courtship. Dear people tonight, you need the protection of parents over you, and love that protection, because I have seen it again and again when people are rebelling and they can't come under the protection of their parents. They often end that up as immoral failures. Yeah, search it out. They finally find something in each other before it's perfect timing that they should have found with their dad and their mom. And they rejected it. God help you, young people, tonight to know, take your father's and your mother's advice and appreciate deeply. Love it. They're there for your protection if they're godly. And I trust I can say that you are godly tonight. Solomon wanted youth to know wisdom, and that is to fear a holy God. Wisdom is the fear of God. Realizing, like I said last night, wherever you look, wherever you think you are, nobody is looking. God is still seeing that. And I come under the fear of God and realize that your courtship can be a godly courtship. Yes, it can. It can be a beautiful courtship. And tonight, fathers and mothers, if your courtship wasn't right, you better repent now. That's right. And then you can go on, have peace of mind from here. But praise God tonight that Solomon also spoke about finances. I'll just bring this in. Finances has wrecked many a marriage. Not too many courtships, I guess. Not unless the husband was too tight to pay for the ice cream. I don't know. But, you know, and they should think, oh, what's going on here? You know, young man, be a man. But, sisters, if your boyfriend is still making payments on his car, when you're getting married, there'll be more payments coming. I'm speaking simple tonight, so I can understand it, I can portray it. Now, get this. If your friend, either side of the fence, was in the mission field, he comes home, that's a different story. That's a different story altogether. And God knows that. But if your friend over here just has his big car, and you know, and he isn't worried how he's going to get it paid, but it's a good show-off, he's still making payments on that, and you're thinking of buying a property, whatever else goes with marriage, guess again, there are more bills are coming. Does he know how to run finances? I'm just saying that just to be real nice. I hope in a niceful way. We don't, not everybody has the same gift, I realize. But be humble enough to ask for advice then too. Do your friend on either side of the fence, you know, can they keep a job? Can they keep a job? Is your friend over here, can he keep a job? I'm no prophet, but I've been around long enough. A man that is jumping from job to job and job is usually that way in the spiritual too. Search it out. Does that mean you have to keep the job for... That's not what I'm saying. I think you know what I mean. Stability, in other words. Is there stability there? And that can be on both sides again tonight. Solomon wanted to have these things in their proper order to keep youth pure and everybody else involved. What is needed for youth to keep from fornication is also needed for married people to keep from adultery. I'm not just speaking to youth tonight. You're not just the focus. We're bringing it into everybody tonight. We older men, we have the same problems as anybody else, and sisters, you're not left off the hook either. No. We have to have a close walk with God. Proverbs 6. It says here in 23 to 29. Proverbs 6, 23. For the commandment is a light, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. Why? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, and neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. People say it's the men's fault all the time. You know, you have all the things going on in the political world, you know. Men that are out of their place. But a lot of men are also set up tonight. Yeah. Accused wrongly. Yeah. And I'm not just batting for the men, but anybody can say now anything about any. Where's the proof? You can lose your position in politics and whatever else now. In the church even. People say it's the men. These verses that I read, the scripture very clearly teaches that women are just as bad as men when immoral. You get that? There's no difference tonight. A man cannot lead a sensual woman, but you can leave. And tonight, young man, if you're courting such a woman as this, you better flee. You better flee. If the woman that you're dating, young man, is a flirting woman, then flee. Because there's something, I'll come to it later yet, I think. A flirting woman won't change because of marriage. All the other men around are going to see she's a flirting woman. And they'll get attracted to her too if they're ungodly. And that's how come we have the mess out there and inside churches. Lord, help us tonight. In courtship days, we have to be aware of what's going on. Men have to lead out. Yes, you have to lead out, young men. But there are a few questions that are given here in verse 27 and verse 28. And each person has to answer this question. It says, can. It says, how does it go here? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? And so forth. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? You know the answer tonight. Sister, you know the answers tonight. It's impossible. It's impossible. And each person has to answer that to himself. Courting couples, married people, older singles, wherever you are. And before I forget, if you're here tonight as an older single, God bless you. God bless you. Too often in our Mennonite cultures, single people were looked down upon. You know, as well, you know, hopefully you'll fit in somewhere. And we harass them all the time. Well, you know, if you'd be married, life would be glorious. Really? Tonight, I want to say this. To be in the will of God supersedes anything out there. Be in the will of God. And parents here tonight, if you have older singles among you, widows and so forth, make them a part of your life. Invite them into your home. Make them a part of you. If they're here and they don't have family, have them over on Christmas Day. Be part of you. They're special. They're needed. Our church needs everybody. Your church needs everybody here. Make them part of you. Love them. And then, singles, if you're here tonight, and you don't go, and you're sitting at home, and nobody loves me. Well, rightly so. But you can't blame anybody else if you're dwelling in self-pity. If you're dwelling in self-pity, you're the loser. Yeah. But I can speak about these things. I was 35 before I got married. I was enjoying life. Yeah. It's what you make of it, too. Lord, help us as family, as a church family, to have the heartbeat for each other. But tonight, no matter where we're at, all people need to be pure. Get that? All people need to have a pure life. Whether walking on coals or having fire in your bosom, the results are the same. And it won't heal with burdock ointment tonight. You know what burdock ointment is over here? It's a real healer for burns, you know. It's a good product. It's not a hocus pocus like most of the stuff around. It's something I can promote. I won't go into the details here, but this here burning has only comes by old-fashioned repentance and getting right with God, dear people, tonight to be set free and washed in the blood of the Lamb. You can be free tonight. Let's get right to the point tonight. You say, I leave this place tonight and I don't get it, what you're talking about. Hands off courtship, no kissing, and no petting. You get it? That's right. I realize I'm an old-fashioned, I'm not an old man, but I'm an old-fashioned preacher, I guess. Yeah. Tonight, I say this because I want the best for you young people. I do. I want you to have a wonderful courtship that you can look back on in great joy and think what a beautiful time that was together as we go through life on and on for its glory. That is my heartbeat for you. I love you, young people, wherever you are. The first evening you're together, the two of you, you'll have to settle on these very issues. Otherwise, your friendship better stop until you see the holiness of God. And like the proverb writer said, my son, get wisdom, get wisdom. Psalm 62 verse 2 says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. And that's good between you and God. That should be our request to the Holy Spirit. But maybe this is what you should request from each other too. Examine me. Am I the man, am I the woman this morning, this evening, that God can put his blessing on? How is my integrity? Do I stand for truth? Am I pure and intend on staying that way with the divine help of the Holy Spirit? Number one, is my spirit compatible with her spirit? Do you both love the things of God? Can you talk about spiritual things? Are you sound in doctrine? Oh, people say, well, you know, doctrine, this is, what is doctrine? This is. The whole book is doctrine. Well, they say, well, we don't like doctrine. Well, then you don't like the word. Getting to the point here is, for an example, your girlfriend-to-be, is she just wearing her headship veiling, prayer veiling, because the church says she has to? You ask her that? Well, the ministry said, you know, Ronald and Nelson said we have to, you know. Really? then you know already something has to change first before you can continue on in courtship. These are basic things that will take you down the wrong road. But if she says, I love to do it because it's in the Word of God, forget about the ministry. I mean, no, not forget about them, but I mean, pray for them, but you're not just doing it for them or for the church you're with. You're doing it because you love the Word. The Word says it. And that makes all the difference, friends. Is the man more interested in sports than being at Wednesday night in church? Yeah. Courtship is to find out if there are red flags around. Yeah. And they're more than waving those red flags at those car races too, or whatever color they are. You have to know those things, sisters. That's what courtship is about. Where is their interest? Is it being involved in the work of the church? Does their your friend, does he like to hand out tracts and be a witness of who Jesus Christ is? And again, can he keep a job? Number two, how about the soul of you and hers? The emotions. You're on a high when you're together, and the rest of the week in your work clothes, you're a snob to your parents and to your siblings. Courtship is to get to know each other better, and how they treat the rest of their family is the thermometer of how you will be treated. You won't get away from that. Marriage changes very little about a person's character, but Jesus Christ will if we let him. Absolutely. He can do it, and praise God for that tonight. Marriage may reform, but marriage never transforms a person. I've heard the statement already made, well, you know, the fellow was going with a wild girl or vice versa, you know, and well, once you get married, you know, and it'll settle down. Friends, tonight, you have to settle up first with God before you're ready for marriage. Number three, the body. You may have the most handsomest looking person you're courting. And every young man should say that he has the best looking wife around. You know, I already, some young men came to me for advice. You know, what do you think of that girl? There is. What do you think? Do you have good advice, you know, about courting her? Well, I said, there's one problem. The best one is gone. Every man has to be able to say that and mean it. Otherwise, forget it. You're already in a downward crash course right there, if you can't. Yeah. But the young fellow got the message. You know. She was a godly person. And we appreciate godly ladies tonight here. Yes, we do. We appreciate godly men. We love you. We want you to get home tonight, the eternal home. The Word of God says it is the inward being that is lasting. Proverbs talks about a ruby. Peter talks about a jewel that is rare, the hidden man of the heart, something that is far more beautiful than all the frills and the fancies a lady can put on her dress, you know. Yes, something that money cannot buy, when a person has that beauty within that God can do. Oh, man, treasure that. That is something that the worldly person has no idea exists. You know. what you really are when you have been broken before a holy God. Young man, you may say tonight that, my girlfriend, she is the most beautiful one around. Can you also say that in 70 years from now when she is all wrinkled up and, you know, looking over the eyes and hair gray and straggly and, yeah? Young ladies, can you say that about your hubby 70 years down the road when he's dragging his feet, you know? A walker, maybe? Yeah. Does he still have that inner charm, that inner beauty, through all those experiences? And you can still love each other, help each other on for its glory? Yeah. That's where the jewel is at. It's not the fancies of your hair. It's not the frills on your dress, finally. Those days come if the Lord tarries. For others, life is very short. Some are called away in their honeymoon. No. It's serious tonight. Most times these steps are reversed in the world, and sad to say many times in the church on account of the results we see. Half of all marriages are breaking up, and it's just as bad in the church as in the world right now. Those are the statistics out there. Alabama, the state of Alabama, is toying the idea of not giving marriage license anymore. Marriages don't last anyway. Men can marry men, ladies can marry ladies, and a lot of others, they don't know what they are that day or what they want to be down the road. That's the stage where we're at. And why the hassle with licenses? Who would have ever dreamt 30 years ago that we end up to this stage? You might not wish. You are what you are. But you are what you are. We have to settle that. That's as simple as it gets tonight. Yeah. Lord help us. For an example, I was growing up, I thought it would be nice to be a girl. Wouldn't have to clean out the calf pens. That day. The next day, if I could go swimming, yeah, it was good to be a boy. You know, those thoughts can come through, but understand where I'm getting at tonight. You are what you are, and accept it from God. And, yeah. Why the hassle? Yeah, and that is why in Revelations it writes about those that are without. It says those that are without are without hope. It says those that without are without the hope of heaven. And it says those that are without are dogs. That's what it calls them in the book of Revelations. I'll go on to say this. They act like dogs. Society as a whole is being acting like dogs. Lord help us. Lord help us tonight. And I believe that's why it is written there in Revelations. Those that are without are dogs. Yes, the world craves for the body first, and then the soul. And if there's any spirituality left, it'll be left for last, and that'll never work tonight, dear people. It'll never work. So I ask the question tonight, do you want a good marriage? Not only in a few years, for a few years, and who knows, for many years. Imagine if you're just living for the body in 70 years from now. Yeah. We need that deep jewel within. That is from God. And your marriage can be beautiful whatever year the Lord gives you. A while back, we saw this older couple. They were all white-haired, and they were driving down the road. And I looked twice, And here they had this Saint Bernard sitting between them, you know, with a big tongue hanging out, slobbering all over. And boy, that's courtship, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Something changed over the years. Do we get the point? No. Something's changing. It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. This is my heartbeat for you tonight, every young person, that you can step into marriage pure before God and each other and receive the blessings that go with it, which are innumerable. Innumerable. Young man, if you're asking a girl, don't put her on the test. I know of a coincidence that a boy, Years ago, they had to go through the formation of neat, especially that time, neat handwriting. And a boy asked a girl and said, you know, the Lord is really, I just feel this is the Lord's thing, you know, that I can date you or court you. In the same week, this girl gets another letter. This is just the will of God that you're going to be my girlfriend. Don't put those that you're asking to make a decision about the Holy Spirit and God and you. If they both say they're in the will of God, they both say this is the will of God, and the poor lady over here says, well, I can't both have them, so somehow I'm not in the will of God for one of them. You know, let's be reasonable. This is, it's sort of humorous, but it's a fact. How do we word this? Give her a break, you know. Just ask and not say what the Lord is all doing to you. Let the Lord also work on her over here. Don't put her into it. This is practical stuff tonight, I realize. But courtship varies from country to country, culture to culture. But one thing that can never vary tonight is purity. Can never vary, no matter where. Some areas, the parents do the picking. It may work at times. I'm glad I had my own pick. Yeah. Parents can meddle in with outward beauty. They can meddle in with how rich or poor the other person's family is, or what they will get out of a dowry in some countries. Those things are carnal. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. When we seek the will and the blessing of God in two lives for life. And I emphasize tonight, young people, marriage is for life. Yes. That's it. There's no deviation from that. There are no shortcuts. Even if there are times, the old flesh would say there's an innocent party. Yeah. The Word of God is very clear in that. Romanian Christians in their courting couples, they would never be out of sight from supervision. Well, that's not our Mennonite culture, is it? Maybe it should be more of that. You may say, well, a young person may say, well, you may say, are we not mature enough? They may say, don't you trust us? And so forth. Don't you let us grow up? Maybe it is reversed. Maybe you don't trust your parents. That what they want for you is not a lifetime of reaping, but a lifetime of rejoicing and victory and sharing with you and your children the power to walk in purity in a messed up world. That is something beautiful to pass on to your children. Tremendous power in that. Parents, are you awake tonight? With this, I also include the parents again. How do you act in your home as parents? How do you undress or dress in your home? Are your children thinking immoral thoughts by your actions? You know. Does that mean a father can open the car door for his wife? No. But there's some other things that you have to be aware of, friends. You can stir lustful minds in your children. That should never have to be. You're an example, fathers and mothers. You don't have to run around all morning in your nightgowns, sisters. This is everyday language. Still love me? It's gone. Purity is not enhanced in a car parked down some lonely side road, or in a dark living room, or late hours of the night. In fact, I don't know if these ministers have experienced it yet, but ministers' meetings don't even go well in late hours of the night, and neither does pure courtship. Amen? Traveling together, and for long distances, alone. It's not a testimony to the world, and the world would not believe you, the evens would say, that you're staying pure. And neither is a good testimony for the church. We're living in a life of selfies, youth leaning over each other and into each other with no restraints. This is sin. Even's in engagement pictures tonight. By the way, engagement doesn't give you any more rights than on your first date. You will talk about different things, different plans, but your member, your friend, is not yours to touch or to handle. They are the parents' property until marriage. You know the root word of selfies is self. Another red flag. If your friend, all he's doing with his buddies is doing this, then he'll likely do that with you too, very shortly down the road. Vice versa. Now, can you communicate? Does your friend, can he talk in a living room on a Sunday afternoon without having his phone out all the time and, oh, what did he say? Yeah. He's not with you. Yeah. Look out. That hinders marriage. It does. All our technology is not enhancing the home. Self that has never been crucified doesn't want to be restrained in courtship, and then neither will be in marriage. And mark these words. Look at the statistics. What is so devastating about an impure courtship? You may rebel against your parents or the church standards. In fact, I was at a Romanian wedding in our local, or we were, in our local town. We have Romanian friends, and we were invited to this wedding. And oftentimes, the Mennonite weddings, you know, well, 10 minutes, you have to rush it through, right? We have to have a sermonette, and then we have a weddingette down the road, you know. I mean, they don't last too long anymore. But we have to get married, really, regardless if it lasts long or not. Short weddings. We were at this Romanian wedding, and a preacher gets up, and he preached for half an hour. And I thought, boy, when's lunch, you know, the old fellow. And then another preacher gets up and preaches another half an hour. There's some singing in between yet. Another preacher gets up and preaches another half an hour. What a tremendous message is that. They'll put the Mennonites to shame that day in their weddings. The one preacher, he looked at the young couple, and he said, you know, if you have problems of not fitting into the church, if you have problems of not obeying the church, you'll have problems in your marriage down the road too. And I was listening, I thought, is this a marriage service, or is this some, when are we getting to this? No. Yeah. But what he said was true. And what he said we have to hear in Mennonite churches. I was blessed. Sure, I didn't agree with everything that was there. But I usually make my policy of getting the blessings whatever I can, and then the rest they'll have to iron out. Yeah. Yeah. You may look at what others do and how they act, young people, in their courtship. It may be from others within the congregation. It may be others from other denominations. What does the Word of God say? Keep thyself pure. That's what we have to go by. The Word of God has this to say, and this will be the final verdict. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 20. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Then he goes on and says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is not my words. This is the word of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Praise God for those words tonight. All things are, let's just skip down to verse 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What know ye not, that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in how? In your body and in your spirit, which is God's. Simple language tonight. I will not go into that, but it says what? It talks about what the unrighteous will inherit, and that includes fornicators, sexual immorality outside of marriage. Jesus' own words were, he that looketh on a woman has already committed adultery in his heart. That's for all of us, you know. Yeah. And that goes for courting couples and gives you no right to touch her or him in a sensual manner. Holding hands can become a sensual thing. Many young men have come to me and said, yeah, we had to stop holding hands, because it was going in the wrong direction. I said, God bless you, young man, sister, you know. They knew the limits. They knew what was ticking inside. And he said, no. That is the Holy Spirit of God working, and praise God for that tonight. Flee anything that hinders your mind and body from staying pure tonight. We could go on in Ephesians 5, 3 to 6. It talks there of your walk and your talk and your walk and your covetousness will bring a destiny outside of God. In verse 6 it says, don't be deceived. What you're listening to? What romance books you're reading? Yeah. You have romance books in the house. Let the flames of a fire destroy them. Romance books. Yeah, they don't typify real life. Yeah. You can't live on that, dear people. Country Western music. I'm not preaching this weekend on music. Sometimes I have a message on music. Country Western, rock and roll will lead you to disobedience to the word of God, and you will come under the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 to 7. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 to 7. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even such the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Cease reading there. Very clear words. Abstain from fornication. And verse 5, it says, this is for every person. That your life is not a possession of lust. That's all you can think of. That's all you can talk of. That's all you can listen to. And that's all you can look at. Yeah. That's not the walk of a child of God tonight. You have known people. I know I was one of the young people that was the language we spoke. That was the language we communicated with. You could say one thing and I could look at my friends and we would take it up completely different. That is what these verses are referring to. But praise God, you were at one time like that. And we can be set free. That's the working of God tonight. Yes. Keep yourself pure. You'll become like the music you listen to. Sometimes a message in music. Well, it's awful what's going on out there. The Ten Commandments are just opposite in the music world. I have them. What the Bible says. Completely opposite. Leave it at that for now. For such people know not God, it says. The rest of Thessalonians 4 talks about the hope of our blessed Lord. Those that have been redeemed. Those that are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ tonight. And friends, those that are looking for that upper taker, that will call up to meet him in the air, they won't be looking for him if they are not living the first part of Thessalonians 4. That's right. Tonight, it's for those that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's for those that are pure. Those are ones that have the right to look for the blessed hope. Hebrews 13:4, it says, marriage is honorable in all and a bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Youth tonight, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Young men, sisters, walk in such a way that older people can learn from you. That they can look at you and say, there's a man that walks for God. There's a sister that loves God. Their actions prove it. Yes. 1 Peter 1:13-16, in all manner of conversation, it talks there. And that conversation means in your whole walk of life. You're portraying a life like the brother mentioned of holiness and purity. That goes together. This means your conduct. And that includes the modesty in both sides of the aisle. Tonight, I ask the question, do you fit in where you attend? Do you fit in where you attend? Those are red flags. If you can't fit in, one or the other side, wake up. There'll be problems. There'll be problems. Some men like when other men whistle about their catch. I've heard that. I've seen that. I've seen married men driving down the road that I worked with, and they saw a beautiful lady walking in the street. God made her that way. He looks into the mirror, and looks into the mirror. You know what he's thinking. These things are happening. It's not only you men. You ladies have your own set of problems. I mean, forgive me if I'm too blunt, but yeah. With modesty, immodesty usually always goes flirtiness. Read Proverbs again. The results are spelled out in black and white there. Prince William was attracted to his wife Kate by her immodesty. They openly said that. Again, both sides of the house tonight, if you see flirting and immodesty in your friend, others will also see it, and they'll also flirt with them. Flirting is a language. In our paper a number of years ago, before Valentine's Day, it says, how to flirt. I thought, whoa, the Mennonites don't have to learn that. Some of them know it already. Friends, you don't need any teaching on that. That comes automatically from the carnal man within, and it's something that has to be crucified. Does that mean that boys and girls can't talk together in socials and so forth? No. That was the opposite side of the road. When I was young, if you were caught talking to a girl, they all may have thought, well, you're going to start dating. Friends, that's not the case. You can come together and you can have clean fun together, but watch it. Our technology is breaking down some of the morals between these sides. You should be able to enjoy each other's presence, having a good game of whatever, without thinking immoral stuff. Your dress, your actions will help that so much, dear people. In order for courtship to blossom, you first have to be born again. Otherwise, you'll never know God's will. Are you prepared to court because it better be the goal to marriage? Our son came down here to your country for a wife. And I told him right off the bat, if you're coming down here and taking somebody from the U.S. or whatever, which way it's... But I said, you have to talk about something that most couples don't. One of the first number of dates. Is one of you going to give up the fair land you live in? It's no use courting for a year, and then the lady said, well, I'm not going to give up. And of course the son would say, Canada is the only country. Why don't you decide that first, and then you can still see the Lord's will from there on. Nobody who starts courting the first day knows what the Lord's will all is going to be. That's what courtship is about. And that's beautiful to see how God can lead during those times. You know, how it reveals different things and so forth. Now, sometimes courtship doesn't work out. Sometimes a couple can date for half a year, and it's not working out. And dear parents, and the rest of the church family, we don't have to know all the issues. Our mission is to pray. Come along beside them and put your arm around a young man and say, praying for you. Those are difficult times. Things that didn't work out and they wish they would have. Sisters, mothers, sister in the congregation, come along. You don't have to make a big ado. Say, we're there. But so oftentimes we want to know all the details and forget to talk to Holy God. That can be hurt. Deep hurts. Let's be sensitive to those things. I heard of a Mennonite youth who dated, and when I was under the young people, and he dated 20 girls before he found the right one. Mm-hmm. So hopefully he found the right one. Friends, that shouldn't be named among us. So he wants the first one. He'd like to have found something good in her. And all the 20 comes to the 21st one, and that one should have all the good that all the other 20s had, right? Young man, you'll never find a woman like that. And sisters, you'll never find a man that is totally perfect. Let's be honest. When I came to Pennsylvania as a teenager, I was with the horse and buggy group, and they wanted to set me up for a blind date. I said, what? I mean, why would I want to date a girl down here in Pennsylvania when I'd never seen her before? I said, no. They really were surprised. They thought this would be an advantage for me. I did a lot of wrong things in my day, but that was where I drew the line right there. I said, no. But that was the thing to do back then, you know. I don't want a blind date. I have to have my eyes open. I don't want to be blinded. Yeah, but that's where problems start. Yeah, Lord help us that we have, hopefully that church group has risen above that too. I don't know. Courtship is not the time to bring an unequal yoke together, like dating a Catholic or whatever else is out there, and think, well, you know, I can win her to the Lord in my courtship and not then in marriage, because we love each other, it'll all work out. Hardly ever does. Tonight, dear people, young people, it isn't worth the risk. It isn't worth the risk. Once in a while, yeah, it may have worked. Don't risk it. Courtship is not the time to be the counselor of ironing out a lot of personal issues either. Yeah. You're not your girlfriend's counselor and she's not your counselor. Those things better be counseled out before. There's no safety in that at all. It's too unsafe for that. And a lot of those issues, you just better let it wait until it's taken care of. There's this homeschooling convention. This is non-Mennonite. And these parents had a high standard for their children. And so this was a camp, so a boy and a girl met, and the boy asked the girl, well, would you consider courting me? And she said, I have to ask my dad. And so the young man went up to the dad, you know, a little jittery a bit, you know, this is tough stuff. And he said, well, can I court your daughter? And he said, no, I don't even know you from Adam. You know, I have no clue who you are. Ooh, you know. And so the daughter found out that it's not working. But the dad said to the young man, you go across the U.S. wherever you live, and I'm in the other part of the U.S., I'll write you a letter. And you write me back. The girl was out of the picture. So the father wrote this young man, and the young man wrote back. Yeah, it got pretty good. The father, he asked tough questions. The young man answered right back. For a whole year they did this. And the daughter never became rebellious in that time. I believe the daughter knew something was going on. She never got the letters to read. By the time that year was up, the father told the young man, he said, I'm buying you a ticket to come to see my daughter. He was so impressed by this young man, how he related to authority. And they had some good letters going back and forth, good questions, and this was getting real good. Father said, buying you a ticket. Come see my daughter. Half a year later, they were married. Young people, to fit under that authority. Tremendous blessings, tremendous safety there. Oh, I can't stress it enough, dear people. Love that. When the blessings of the home can be upon a young couple, how beautiful that is. When God, when they can step forth and they can have the blessings of the parents on both sides and the church with them. Friends, in a world that is this evil, it's still possible. Indeed it is. Courting is to know God's will and each other's will for marriage. And it will only be discerned if the spiritual is first and everything is kept pure. Finally, friends will either draw us closer to God or further away from God. Shall we pray?